Thursday, September 29, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and good morning if you're just tuning in. Nicho Hynes won the Dally M medal last night and won it in a canter in the end, the highest individual tally in the history of the award. 38 votes he got from James Tedesco with 33, Ben Hunt 32. In the NRLW, the Dally M medal went to Racine McGregor, the Sydney Roosters halfback. And we've got Blocker coming up shortly. Just this text, Gordon at Arimba. I think one of the big storylines as far as the grand final is concerned is if Penrith win, where do they rate as far as great teams of the modern era are concerned? Mm. And this text, Laurie, can we destroy your myth that Penrith are the best side in the last 3 years? They are simply not. Storm were the best in 2019-20. Storm slaughtered Penrith in the 2019 grand final. Well, that's wrong because the 2019 grand final was between the Roosters and the Raiders.
Yeah.
The game was over after 20 minutes and 26-6 with only 11 minutes to go. I accept Penrith have been the best side in 2022, but certainly not prior to that, says Gordon at Arimba.
Well, Gordon, let me take you through it. 2020, Penrith lost two games, all right, and they finished first on the competition table and lost the grand final to the Storm, all right? But that was their first grand final. Last year, they'd only lost three games, and they won the grand final. And this year, they have lost, four games, and they're in the grand final. And for me, that form is better than anyone in the last 3 years. There's not a club that can match that in the last 3 years.
Middo.
Good morning, Block.
Good morning.
So, Gordon, there you go, my friend.
Loz, I love it when you're assertive. You're the world's best bloke, but when you get a boo in your bonnet, I love it. And when you're correct and you know that you're right, you stick it up them and stick it to them. I love that stuff.
I'm not saying in the last decade. I'm just saying the last 3 years.
Yes.
Statistically, you cannot beat their record.
Definitely been the best side in the last 3 years.
And if they win on Sunday, it just confirms that they're one of the great teams.
100%.
100%. Great to have you at our grand final lunch Block yesterday.
I
wish
we
were still going, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Loz and I had a bit of fun up on the stage. I don't know about everyone else.
We had a great time.
Bringing back some great memories, Loz. Thank you for that. The Daily M's last night. Congratulations to Nicho Hynes. Did anyone hear him speak after it? I thought he was absolutely sensational. Now, I went for Todd Payton as the coach of the year. I don't know if it was just me, but his speech, when he got the Daily M coach of the year, went for half an hour. Now, I think what happens is when blokes get up to speak and all that sort of stuff in television land, when the director's winding you up, they're rolling their hand over like that. I think Todd thought that meant keep going. Like, I love him. I think he's done a magnificent job. But it was, I said to my wife, we were sitting up there watching, I said, this is a speech for when he's like at his club presentation night. Mm. Like, it just went, mate, it went on and on and on and on. But, mate, congratulations to him. I thought that he was the coach of the year.
Yeah.
So it was good. Great to see Nicho Hynes get that award and win so comfortably. He spoke so well after it. And
did you get a surprise he won so comfortably?
I did.
I did too.
Well, all the talk was about Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
You know, coming in. Look, hey, Loz, I want to bring up about the Daily M's, and mate, it's a great night, and everyone who wins an award deserves it. But is it for the best player in the game? If you're playing, Laurie Daly's playing with the Canberra Raiders, and Canberra Raiders have got 10 internationals in their side. So it's harder for you to poll than when you're playing in a side that's lesser. Like, if you, mate, you know, I'm saying it's great that the blokes win it and all that sort of stuff, but is it for the best player in the game?
Well, we had this conversation early in the week, didn't we? I don't know what the best system is, Block. And then I thought, should we go to a system where your team's player of the year is nominated for the Dally M?
Yep.
So you've got 16, and then they vote on who
they
think
the best.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to preference. I'm lucky enough to be a judge, and it goes behind closed doors after, round 21 12. Or something like that. It goes behind closed doors. But it's all preference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He's had a wonderful year, Nicko. Yeah, he's been the Sharks' best player.
And I'll admit, like, I've got my favourite players. I'll admit that. So if there's anyone playing and it's a bit of a toss-up about who you're going to vote for, I've got to be honest, you vote for the bloke that you...
What about... we always seem to give it to the playmakers.
Loz, I'm glad you brought this up.
Do you get frustrated, Blocker,
yes,
when your front rowers do not
get
nominated?
They don't even poll.
And did someone tell me that James Fisher-Harris wasn't in...
Wasn't in the nominations for
Prop of the Year?
Really?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I reckon it's toss up between him and Payne Haas. You're definitely giving Tarpany one. I would have Fisher, Harris, Haas. If either of those got it, you wouldn't batter an eyelid.
Well, Haas did get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Fisher, Harris wasn't in the nominations.
Wow. Mate, he'd been unbelievable. But the other thing is, too, let's change the name. Keep the Daily M's.
Yes.
But let's just call it the Halfbacks Award or the Halves Award. Up until Cameron Smith come along.
But no, Fisher Harris should have been in the running. I can't believe that he wasn't in the nominations for front rower of the year.
He's been outstanding.
He's tough. He goes forward. He's an intimidating presence. And one of the reasons why Penrith will start favourites in this grand final on the weekend. What else have you done this week, Block?
Mate, I just cruised around with you guys. I did 360 last night, which was good, with Gordon Tallis. I like working with Gordy.
I love Gordy.
Yeah, he's got an opinion,
yep,
and he backs it. If he's wrong, then he'll come out and say, you know what, I was wrong about that or whatever. Hey, Loz, I'm going to talk to you about, is the grand final breakfast still on? Do they still have the grand final breakfast?
I think they got rid of that. I think the players and the coaches hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
No.
No.
Did you like it?
No, I don't like getting up early.
No, we were the same.
Yeah, and because your energy's going into the grand final and you get a little bit moody, I would say. Well, yeah. I did anyway. I don't know about you, Loz, but, mate, getting up at early in the morning and going along to the grand final breakfast, I wasn't really my
game. I think they got rid of it a couple of years
ago. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Because Joey always told the story with Parramatta. They reckon in 2001, Parramatta had that record-breaking season.
Yeah.
And he reckons they knew at the grand final breakfast that they were tight and tense and
the Knights
were loose. But, you know, you try and find any sort of...
Yeah, but it's easy to say after the event when you win the grand final, they look a little bit nervous at the grand final breakfast.
And then if you see a team, you know, happy and...
Yeah.
Joyful and kicking the ball around,
find out
where they lose. They didn't take it seriously enough, or they were too relaxed.
You played in plenty of grand finals. What about your preparation? Did you like to keep it same so as all the week, or did you all the season, or did you find it was a little bit different and you felt a bit more pressure?
Block, it's funny because For me, each grand final was different. It was a different feel after the game. It was a different feel leading up to each grand final. So in 89...
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Oh, shit.
That's all right.
But I hate talking about it. But 89, it was like, for us, mate, we're not expected to do anything. We're having a crack here. We're just having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
That's how we were at that particular moment in time. Then 90 came along. And right from the get-go, you're expected to win. So every week, they're talking about you guys winning the comp and how easy it'll be. And it felt like a grind.
Mm.
And once you get there, it's a relief. And then when you win it, it's a bigger relief because you're expected to win. And then in 94, it was completely different again because you'd sort of been there. You hadn't been a part of it for 3 or 4 years.
And you're coming back.
And you want to prove to people that you still got it and you still have a very good footy team. So that was a sort of motivator for you as well. So all the build-ups
were different to a grand final. Was your favourite one the 89? Your first one,
yeah,
of course.
First one, always.
Your first one, of course.
First one's always your best.
Of course.
And it's completely different. All three had completely different emotions at the end of the 80 minutes, but the most joyful one
was 89. Of course. Mm. You nearly ruined the trophy. I remember that.
Sorry, mate. I hate bringing it up with you.
No, it's all right.
No,
mate,
I do.
Listen,
I really do.
Loz,
I hate it.
You're a good mate of mine, mate.
You are. You're a good mate of mine.
That's how it goes, mate. That's beautiful, how the cookie crumbles.
Beautiful scenes here in the studio.
I should be sponsored by Kleenex. Do they make tissues or something?
There was nearly a cuddle there. just on trying to find Papod, trying to find, I don't know, little things in the opposition. Because often, like for test matches, on tour, sometimes he'd be staying in the same hotel, right?
Yeah. So a lot of the time.
So, you know, you just see just day before a test match, see a few blokes, I don't know, having breakfast in the dining room, just go, gee, they look a bit tense.
No. Never took any notice of it. I reckon it was the greatest myth on the planet. It's like someone said, oh, we knew we were going to lose because of the way we warmed up. What does warm-up mean? Warm-up does not count for anything. In cricket, might be different in other sports, but, like, again, you're going, oh, you're doing your run-through so good and your technique looks great and you're running fast and that's good. You go field in slip and don't run for 40 overs.
Hey, Pup, I've been involved in a lot of captain's runs and absolutely the day before the game of the captain's run, absolutely hopeless. Blokes dropping the ball, falling over.
Game day, they're on fire.
Yeah. And I've actually done ones where, geez, we're on fire. Let's finish this after 20 minutes and then go out and get smashed. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't.
I found that the hardest thing for the teams that I play with, certainly once a lot of those great players left the team and you had more youngsters, the hardest thing about a massive game was not playing it before it actually come. So not thinking about, you know, how you're going to get off the mark and how you're going to make your 50 and how you're going to make 100 in the night before the game or the 2 nights before the game, actually trying to get away from it any possible way you could, even if it meant, you know, go out to dinner with your wife or your partner or some mates, try not to talk about cricket until you woke up in the morning. And if you woke up, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, super excited, that was okay. But trying to deal with it 3, 4, 5 days out, that was always the challenge, I reckon.
There's always one bloke, and I'll ask Pup and Laurie, there's always one bloke that you look to and you feel comfortable when he's in your team. Who was that for you guys?
Oh, mine's a no-brainer. Mine was Warnie.
Yeah.
Because Warnie, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, Warnie always thought we could win. And that was based on he always thought he was good enough to make us win.
Yeah, good to that. What about you, Loss?
Mal.
Mal. Big chicken George.
You just looked around and you could... You saw the look in his eye.
You got the sense.
Yeah, you got the sense he was ready to go. Or he was looking at you going, mate, we need you today.
He hit me with that pole. You know that pole he used to have around his arm? Hit me across the nose one day. I've never been hit like that in my life. It was like a cement truck hitting you.
I used to love it when he would... So if we weren't playing well in the first half or things weren't going great and the opposition had to kick off in the second half, he would always, if we needed something, he'd go down and take that first kickoff.
I'll carry it off the kickoff, yeah.
Yeah. For a centre, that's very rare. But he would always do it. In a big game, if we were struggling or we needed some inspiration and they had to kick off, he would take that first carry.
Yeah, he was a great skipper, wasn't he?
Yeah, great leader.
Great skipper.
It's interesting, Loz, actually. We were talking about Joel Selwood before and his ability to enjoy the moment knowing he was retiring in the grand final in the AFL last week. I guess Mal had a similar experience in 94.
Yeah, he did. And scored a try. He scored that intercept try.
Was that when
try.
McCracken was trying to catch him? Was that,
yep.
was
yes.
that one?
Yeah. Yeah, scored a
good luck.
Try in his last game. Yeah, no one was ever going to stop him in that game. But, yeah, he was a... highly driven individual, Mal, because he had a lot of setbacks through his career too.
That broken arms. What about the day
he's on five times?
What about the week that the Roosters sledged him and he went out and scored five tries? You remember that?
66-4,
oh
I
my
think.
God,
it was.
They sledged him. Boom, boom.
Yeah, don't say anything to Mal.
That's it.
Let him go.
Text from John from Wingham. G'day, Loz, Pup, and Middo. Lots of talk this week that if Para win, it'll be the biggest upset since the Tigers in 69. That 69 grand final was no upset. There was nothing between the two sides all year. One win each during the season and South's win narrowly in the major semi after Balmain played the second half a man short after Artie Beetson was sent off. Now, with Para win, I don't see it as an upset because they have proven already they have the game to beat Penrith, says John from Wingham. Famous grand final, that, because South were red-hot favourites.
They were. They were in 69. The best story for me to come out of it was Hal Brown, the best centre in town. That was his nickname. He didn't play, and he dressed up as a tiger that day on the sideline. So Hal Brown, one of the players that played all year, was the tiger on the sideline.
Mascot.
Yeah.
Did he
the
really?
Mascot, yeah. That's how he got into the ground and that.
Because that grand final was about the Tigers, wasn't it, when momentum started to build for South Sydney,
yeah,
someone would go down with an injury. Is
that's
that right?
Well, yeah. Leo Nosworthy was the coach, God rest his soul. He was, mate, what a tremendous bloke. And his record as a coach, he coached in the country and all that sort of stuff. I think he went something like 10 premierships or something like that. Like, they reckon he was a genius ahead of his time. And, mate, the Tigers had a great side. That was right, too. Arthur Beetson was suspended in the semi-finals. Mm-hmm. So that was his big chance to play in the grand final, and he missed out. But it was, they had Spooky Spencer in the second row. He was a great mate.
Look, South's lineup was magic, wasn't it?
Look, Sattler as the captain, O'Neill, John O'Neill, McCarthy, Moses, Coote, Paul Saint, wow. Gary Stevens, Clive Churchill was the coach of South Sydney.
Legends of the game.
Oh, mate, legends of the game. And, they still talk about it today in Tiger Town. Yeah. They still talk about that great grand final. Mate, there were some tremendous blokes that played in that game. Yeah.
When you look in recent times, I mean, there hasn't been many massive upsets, has there? Was Cronulla beating the Storm in 2016? Was it a big upset? Probably not. They were probably pretty evenly matched.
It was a great grand final. Went down to the wire, that one, didn't it? Remember Melbourne?
Cowboys and the Broncos, the same the year before. Yep. I mean, it was pretty even. You'd have to go back to... Oh, I mean, maybe Penrith beating the Roosters in 2003.
Yeah.
That was an upset.
Yeah.
Newcastle beating Parramatta.
Yeah.
The other thing with me now is the way that the game's going. Like, I'll give you an example. Kickau's got to leave the Panthers now. So you get penalised for being good now. You know, you can't keep your team. And they were saying the other day about the Panthers with all their structure and all their pathways and all the kids coming through and all the great players, that they nearly lose two players a year.
Well, we spoke about this earlier, Bocca. So a guy like Dylan Edwards... We don't know what he's on, all right? But we're assuming he's on...
He'd be on four, unders. Four, he'd be on unders what
maybe
he's worth.
Five.
Yeah.
He's nearly worth double that now.
Yeah, he's a great player. Oh. Yeah.
You know, so eventually you can't have too many million-dollar players on your cap.
Yeah. But I reckon they've got to do something. If you come through as a junior and you start your career there, they've got to have some sort of dispensation. I know that they've got it now. Is it after eight seasons or something? Not many blokes play eight seasons, mate, I can tell you. Mm. If you go through the record of all the players that have played in the NRL, not many blokes play 8 years.
No.
I don't reckon. And no, I reckon they've got to shorten up. Maybe shorten it up to 5 years, and then, you know, we can see these sort of sides, you know, have dominance but be able to keep their juniors.
Someone on the text line, Newcastle beating Manly was the biggest upset ever. Probably was. It'd be up there.
97. 97.
25 years ago yesterday. Would you believe? 25 years.